Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
Oh, real good, son.
Here we are to review week two, a crazy week in the NFL. One of the more sexy picks for the Super Bowl, Colts versus Saints, both are 0-2. And they said 12% is the there's a 12% chance that an 0-2 team would even make the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl. So to have the Colts and the Saints both 0-2.
Doesn't bode well.
It doesn't bode well, and it's a little bit hard to believe, especially, you know, Indianapolis should have won their first home game. I understand the Saints, they're on the road. Doesn't matter if it's in the dome or if it's in nice.
Well, the Colts had all the chances, you know, they just gave it up late.
They did.
The interception did them in.
Yeah, they should have had that game. Philadelphia, you know, they stayed.
But they really slowed everything down.
You made an excellent point. We were talking before, and you made an excellent point because I was saying, well, they kept running the ball. Richardson's got like 16 carries, and he actually had his most successful game as a Colt. And you made a point. You said that was to control the tempo of the game because they had the tempo clock up on.
Yeah, Richardson has an interesting style of running. He kind of has a slow roll. I mean, it's a slow spin move, and he kind of drags people with him, almost like a suplex would be.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and it's interesting style because he's got strength, and with the twisting motion, it works well.
It does. I really wish it would work better. I've got him on my fantasy team, and you know, I thought I'd take a flyer. I tried out Eddie Lacy last year, and it worked out well for me.
He's a blunderbuss.
Yeah, he really is. He needs to improve. So you had that, and you look around, you see the Bills are 2-0.
That's the biggest story this week.
I would have to agree, and they've been really putting it to, you know, they won in Chicago.
And then the Bears.
The Bears won in San Francisco, which I was very surprised by.
Right.
And there's another 2-0 team. And you're like, what, really? I forget who, but it's some, the Bengals. Well, the Bengals aren't. Surprising. It's not surprising, but still, that they're 2-0. Good for them.
They play good defense.
They play very good defense, and their offense, you know, Andy Dalton, he's got the Matt Ryan syndrome. Good during the year. And
now, what about the Jets?
Boy.
With the assistant coach calling a timeout, and then the players backing him up.
Sheldon Richardson deserves to, he's the GOAT of the game. Yeah. Like he was the absolute worst because first of all he started a fight. He picked a fight after a 2-point conversion that got Muhammad Wilkerson
thrown out.
It's all because of him.
Right.
Wilkerson would never have started to throw punches if it wasn't for Richardson.
But there's one thing about that Jet franchise. I mean, they are schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You know, so just when you think they're gonna, they're not.
No, and they had that game, but it's just and then Richardson goes up to the.
You can't make this stuff up.
He goes up to the referee's ear because Rex walks away. He's like, no, I'm not calling the timeout. And Richardson's like, oh, morning wakes, you want to call it? Timeout, yelling in his ear. And the refs are not allowed to look around and go, hey, who called that? Because then they take the eye off the ball and you never know what penalty might be missed.
It's ridiculous.
So just go by the voice. I don't know how you mistake 6'5", 320-pound black man for a skinny-ish Rex Ryan.
Well, micromanaging very young players.
Yeah.
It's not a good formula.
No, it's not.
You know, and it's really test time when you're when it's game time. Yeah. All your practices, all your classroom stuff. Well, whenever I took a test, and the teacher wasn't yelling, running around, making points, just sitting there, you know, with the pencil in their hand waiting for me to do my thing. It's like Tom Landry's approach. You know, we'll deal with this on the practice field. Right now, it's test time.
Yeah, I think that's true. Morning Wakes come out and said, I need to trust Geno more. And he should. I mean, that was a good pass he threw. I mean, you can argue, well, a couple of the guys heard the whistle or so. That was timeout.
Well, my bad seems to cover for everything.
Yeah, really. But my friend, who's also a Jet fan, he called it the Jetsiest loss ever. Like, when you think of...
Well, it's the most recent flavor.
Right, I know. But when you think of Jets' losses or ways that they screwed up...
Yeah, well, the butt fumble, I can't get that. That will live in infamy.
Yeah. People are like, oh, this is worse than butt fumble. I'm like, no, this is not worse than butt fumble.
No, was a player, you know, situation. This was a coaching that getting in the way.
Yeah. Butt fumble was key. Yeah.
How many bosses get in the way of workers? I mean, across America. I mean, can we all relate to that?
Yeah, that's true. No, butt fumble was Keystone Cops. This was, you know, Laurel and Hardy. You know, that sort of thing. It wasn't that bad.
But, it was Laurel and Lardy.
Laurel and Lardy, that's true. So, yeah. And then Seattle going on the road, losing to San Diego.
Yeah, Antonio. I mean, that was my best bet. I mean, I've been 10 days off, 5 days off. Is that a conditioning thing? They started throwing at Sherman.
They took
their shots.
But not only that, but they
very
played
brave.
But they took, I got to give them credit, they took a different approach, or at least a good approach on Sherman. They didn't attack him directly. They made him get off. You saw, I think, like the first time they threw over there, it was going to be like a bump and go, and he stopped, and the receiver cut in, and Sherman thought he was going to keep going, so he had to take a long route around, and you know, no touchdowns were scored on him. People are saying he was exposed. I wouldn't say he's exposed, but now you have a blueprint, and if you take that and you go on the next step,
well, yeah, and then but it's move counter. You know, and that's the way it goes. And people figure you out. But the thing that Philadelphia is doing is, how do you figure out conditioning? You just can't get into shape overnight. Otherwise, you know, we could be rich or we could sell those pills.
I know.
So, you know, so that's a big thing about their game. I mean, they make you work hard, and then the late rounds, they knock you out.
That's very true.
So, you know, because fatigue makes cowards of us all. So, you know, guys are trying to reach for stuff they can't get to.
No.
You know, when you see hands on the hips that early. You know,
especially defensive linemen.
Well, yeah, they can't bring it.
No, they can't.
You know, and that's really what the no huddle was meant to do, to stop that pass rush.
Yeah, because not only that, but, you know, you look at Luck wasn't throwing much. He was handing the ball. Foles was doing a lot of that. Play option, but it was just handoff to McCoy.
That's all you have to do.
He kept telegraphing it to the point where I can understand if you're a defensive lineman, you get, you know, McCoy's not a giant man. He's not Bettis, but you still have to bring him down and then get back up, and 20 seconds later you have to run the play again.
Well, he's quick. He's like trying to trace a squirrel in the backyard. Kind of looks like chasing Barry Sanders around.
That's true,
you
know,
you get really exhausted doing that.
Absolutely. But, that Seattle game, I was very surprised. And Antonio Gates thought it was 2008. He had three touchdowns, which was kind of big.
Well,
and
he was dropped down. They're the most active, for sure.
Yes, Rivers to Gates.
Well, the tight ends featured. I mean,
definitely.
I mean, it started with Ditka back in the day.
It's true.
And you had a few good ones. The ghost to the post.
Ghost to the post. Dave Casper, sure.
Sure, there was a few, but, you know, it's big today. And it's such a mismatch. When you get guys 6'6", 6'7", going against corners, who do you got to put a safety on them?
No, it's not going
to
work.
And you saw that gimmick trick, getting back to the Philadelphia game.
Yeah.
With the Colts. I mean, he was doing three tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing all kinds of stuff like that. And then the Colts, I liked the way they were doing with that off-balance line.
Yes. Yeah, they were really pushing it one way and then...
Yeah, with the counter. And it took them forever to react to that. That's not, you know, that a lot of coaches lick their lips when they say stuff like that. I mean, you got to be able to change that up.
I know. Well,
they eventually shut it down.
Philadelphia is not known for their defense. And Indianapolis, they lost Mathis, which was a big loss for them this season.
Sure.
On the defensive side. That's why I was like, that game's going to be a shootout. And, you know, the score may have put in that favor, but it wasn't that big.
You don't
big.
Really want to lace up your track shoes with that team.
No, because they'll outrun you.
It's like a raccoon and a dog. They get them out there far enough where they can drown them.
That is true. And then Redskins lost RG3 for a significant amount of time.
RG3 and 11.
3 and 11. It's true. But Kirk Cousins come in, and he looks like, at this point, it's got to be Cousins. I understand if RG3 comes back, he might be the starter. But Cousins could really, you know, at least help them in the division. you know, fight for a playoff spot.
Well, it looks like they can play a little defense.
A little bit. Yeah.
So it is.
I mean, it's Jacksonville, but still, you know. I think Cousins.
Well, they played the Texans, and it was, what did they give up? 14?
Yeah, something like that. They didn't give it too much, but still. Yeah, I think Cousins could really turn the NFC East race.
Well, that was the plan from the beginning.
Yeah, because they drafted RG3, and two or three rounds later they got
him. The fourth round they picked him, yeah.
They got Cousins as backup, and boy, Shanahan was smart in that respect. Not only to do that, but also
if it was his decision, I'm not sure.
You got to think, if he was the one...
The franchise, yeah.
Yeah, if he's the one who said, all right, trade everything we've got to St. Louis to get RG3, then yeah.
But if you can't play...
Yeah.
You gotta be out there.
Well, I will say Jay Gruden is the type of guy who can change his plans to, because he was with Dalton in Cincinnati, and I mean that was a really, when he was there, really good.
But
offense.
Unlike baseball, you don't have four or five starters. You got one starter every week.
Yeah.
So if that guy can't make it, then you're starting the bullpen, and we know, historically how that.
Just look at St. Louis. Just look at St. Louis. Sam Bradford, they've got their second backup. Like, they used Sean Hill in the first week, and they used somebody different this week. Luckily, they won, but who knows, it's going to be the same guy in the third week. So up this upcoming week, the biggest game on the schedule is going to be Denver at Seattle, the rematch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one people are going to want to tune into, but, I mean, Denver's going into Seattle, that's... I don't care. We talk about home teams like New Orleans. You know, they'll do great in the Superdome, but Seattle does great in Seattle. You know.
Well, I mean, it's the revenge factor.
Right.
I saw Peyton Manning's back doing a couple of commercials now.
Yeah.
Driving that Buick or whatever he's doing.
Sure. Nationwide and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the revenge is a good motivator for them.
I agree.
But the important game was already played this year in February, so.
Well, that's true. That is true. Yeah, so that's like the big game when you look at Washington at Philadelphia. I mean, we're talking about, the Cousins-led offense, and now, with the Eagles' offense starting to do its up-tempo style, so that might be a good matchup.
Well, it's divisional.
And it's divisional. Cleveland up. Baltimore at Cleveland, Green Bay at Detroit.
Yeah, I'm liking this week. I'm going against the Giants at home, taking the Texans.
I think
they're giving the Giants 2.5. The Giants are in huge disarray in a lot of ways.
And Houston's
Texans,
2-0?
I think, is a pleasant surprise. It's one of the teams that really collapsed and did poorly last year.
Yeah.
That have resurrected themselves.
Absolutely.
Tampa Bay had a host of problems. We spoke about them.
Yeah.
But look what happened to them last week.
Yeah.
Now, the quarterback's trying to get the receiver on the 32-yard line to get up and get off the field or stand up so they can at least run a play. No, there's 8 seconds left on the clock. And, of course, they didn't have any timeouts.
No.
So they ran 10 off, and the game's over.
It's not this year for Tampa, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it's not this year. They need some more work. So, all right, so Houston at New York, a home dog. The Giants are a home dog, getting 2.5. So you like the Texans giving 2.5?
I do. I can't see the Giants solving their problems overnight.
No, I mean, Bill O'Brien's really doing a good job down there. J.J. Watts and company. Fitzpatrick is not losing games. He's doing all the right stuff. Adrian Foster has found the fountain of youth. So I think that Houston, that's a good play there. I think.
Well, let's see.
I think so.
The 49ers, they were shockingly...
I was so surprised they lost that game. But yeah, now they have to go down to 2-0 Arizona. 2-0 Arizona.
Right.
Who, they were 10-6 last year, didn't make the playoffs. So that's the kind of division they're in. But yeah, Arizona is also a home dog. Getting 2.5.
Yeah, so that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
So people still believing in the 49ers, even with all their problems.
Well, I mean, they lost the game because combined Chicago and San Francisco had 26 penalties, and Kaepernick used the naughty language, and he got a penalty, the new penalty rule. So
now the interesting too is the Jets are at home.
Yep.
Against the Bears, so the Bears are going cross country.
Yeah.
So you think they'll stop like during the week at in Chicago or
you would have to think so. Right. I mean, it'd be silly for them. Yeah.
And then come halfway and then come all the way back. So that's a lot to ask.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, you know, the Jets at home could do that, but
so they won their that's two road games in a row, and they won their first one. There'd be a lot to ask for the Bears to go into,
and especially going cross country. Thankfully, Chicago. Guess,
yeah.
If you're a Bears fan, you're at least they're halfway in the middle of the country. It's not like they have to go south and then go north or something,
right?
Something like that. But yeah, that's a Jets.
What about the Packers getting two at the Lions?
Two? I have it right now, 1.5. But yeah, okay. 2.5. So. You know, I mean, Rodgers is not facing Seattle, so he's...
It looks like a lot of gaps in the Packers' defense.
Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers can turn a game right around and, you know...
Quickly.
Yes. Stafford's got the ability, but he doesn't have the mental skill that somebody like Rodgers does. So that I think, would be the other best game just to watch, even if you aren't betting. So, so you like Houston... And you like Arizona or San Francisco?
I'm gonna give San Francisco a shot.
Sure. So, Houston and San Francisco.
Only because they're coming off a loss.
I think that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of surprising things have happened right. So far.
Yeah. I think so.
I was gonna say another word on the NFL situation. I mean, they're drawing huge numbers on the Monday night, Thursday night.
Yeah.
So if it's a business, you got to put a deaf ear to that. I know they signed three women to get a social responsible policy.
Yeah, the policy.
I mean, didn't Anheuser-Busch say, like, drink responsibly? Now we're going to
work. Well, now they're
live considering responsibly.
Pulling, yeah, they're considering pulling sponsorship. Look, I mean, you know, I'm not much for social issues on here because you could hear that anywhere, but just know that more stuff's coming out. It's not going to stop with Peterson. Like, now that everything's come out with Rice and Peterson,
right. There
are going to be journalists everywhere digging anywhere they can to find anything, and it's just going to keep piling. Tomorrow you're going to hear about something.
Well, I mean,
guaranteed.
It's all based on the fact that the NFL doesn't have a policy for this stuff. How can you be in this business this long? And how many court-related or violence-related things have we heard about this league in the last 10 years?
Too many.
And the guy in charge, I know we all want blood and we want a pound of flesh and we want somebody to pay a price.
Yeah.
But they really need to just set up a policy. If you do, look what baseball did. You know, if you text positive, you get 50 games.
Sure, 100 games, 150. Yeah, and then that's
so it. Now everybody knows. Do that.
You know, that's going to be the next thing, but they have to wait for the offseason to do that. They don't do anything midstream. They don't change the rules midstream. They wait till the offseason, then they have their competition committee get together, and then they talk it out, and then they figure, okay, this is what we're going to do. So it's not going to happen this season. The best they can do is what they did with that drug policy. They dropped the, like, Welker can come back next week or something, and Josh Gordon has suspended half the year. Something like that. Like, that's the best they can do is halfway through the year, change that. So that's football. Like I said, you're gonna start hearing about everything. It's the dark days for the that aspect of the NFL.
Well, and the tabloid and the media. But I mean, we still watch the games.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm still watching. You know, I'm doing fantasy football.
Right.
You know, and I started a fantasy football league with other people who've never done fantasy football, but they're football fans. So, you know, obviously the draw of the league is getting bigger, but at the same time, it's really pulling at the heartstrings of a lot of other people. Speaking of fantasy football, so I got Mark Ingram. I picked him up, and he did really good for him. Breaks his hand.
Yeah.
So now I picked up Kiri Robinson.
How about the kickers you had? Were they helping you? Because I know the kickers you originally picked got cut.
Yeah, he got cut.
And you just took their replacement.
Yeah, I got Alex Henry, he's doing good. I've only been starting him.
Right.
Because I don't – I got Mason Crosby Kyro, the guy in Kansas City. But
right.
Henry's the guy, the Philadelphia kicker. That's all you need because he does really well. So that's good. And I won both games this week. I was very happy about
it. Nice.
And baseball's finishing up. Giancarlo Stanton got hit in the face with a baseball.
That was wicked. The next guy got hit.
Yeah, that I was, because it's the same pitcher. They kept him in. He was obviously.
Didn't he come back from something like
who,
that?
Who, Stanton? Probably. He actually, this morning.
He got blown up, though.
Well, he
busted his teeth. Everything.
He did. Dental surgery, like collapse.
But it's amazing to keep, to track that ball that close and not back off.
But that's the only place he can pitch him. Not necessarily up and in like that, but he's the guy at the home run derby who's hitting balls into the almost out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Like five rows.
It's a fantastic talent.
Absolutely. You know, and I know the Mets I know they're always talking about like the Mets might try and trade him, but you know, you made a good point. David Wright got hit in the head.
It doesn't seem to be right since then.
No, he doesn't. So
there's something to be said for that.
It's gonna be interesting how it is. Who's it? Tony Caliglieri? Who's the guy who got hit? And then, Tony
Conigliaro.
Conigliaro? Okay. So, yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, look him up. He got hit.
That was your age when that happened.
There you go. He was not the same.
I remember when Gates Brown got hit and busted his jaw.
Jeez. That's crazy.
That's the strongest bone in the body.
I agree. And the races are coming down. They've already got the magic numbers up. The Angels just clinched last night. So they're going to be in the playoffs.
Nationals are coasting.
They are. And, four teams, Kansas City, Detroit, Oakland, Seattle. One of those teams is not making it.
Well, you got to root for Kansas City. It's been a long time.
You have to. I kind of want to see Detroit in. I like Detroit. They put a lot of money in there. They got good players. I think they should. Kansas City, of course.
Now, Seattle.
Seattle
with Cano. I mean, imagine him bailing on the Yankees and then being in the playoffs.
And
the Yankees are out.
The Yankees are way out.
And get the money.
And
go
run.
For another ring.
And he did. So I hate to say it, but I would like to see Oakland not make it. If I had to pick up those four, Oakland.
You're done with Billy Ball?
For now. Next season. Again, how many times are we going to say, you trade away your cleanup hitter, middle of the season. That never works out. It never does.
And then you're trying to grab what you can for hitting.
Yeah. Oh, we made a mistake. Remember, hitters, you know, pitchers have one off night and you're screwed up, so. All right, so that's it for this week. We'll talk again next week.
Okay.
And we'll see how everything goes. So thanks very much for listening and enjoying. And Andrew, your turn.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.